And so I've watched, even before this, pretty much all the documentaries on, you know, on germs and bugs and viruses and pandemics and epidemics. And I've watched all that stuff for years and sort of followed that. But I never thought, really, that I would live to see something like this. And here's what I know. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are nervous. A lot of people don't know what's going to come next. And because of that, it is more important now than ever before to lean in on your faith. 1 John 5:13, John writes and says this, "These things I've written unto you who believe in the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life." The Word of God is given to us to remind us and to affirm us and to reassure us that there is life after this, and it's eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's eternal life. You know, think about it. If you get 80 years out of life, that's pretty good. That's above the average. But that's not eternal, right? Some of you are going to get 90 years. My grandmother lived 93 years. She was climbing peach trees at 80. I kid you not. She was climbing peach trees at 80 years old. And she got 93 years out of it, but that's not eternal. John says, "These things I've written to you," and we can extrapolate that out and apply it to all the scriptures, say, all the Bible's given to us to remind us of a fundamental truth. This isn't the end. The more we hang on to here, the more we let go of heaven. And the more we let go of here, the more we grab hold of heaven. And so the reality is that we are passing through. Now, how does it all end for us? I don't know. You know, I hope I go in my sleep. I mean, I know if you've lived over 50 years, you've thought about how you're going to check out. Now, I'm not being morbid, but you've sort of thought about it, you know? And I've sort of dreamed, you know, I'd sort of like to, you know, go out after Alabama wins another national championship, right? Boom, Bama wins, I go to bed and I die. Some of you would want me to die before that, but that's okay. But anyway, we've all thought about how we would like to check out. We don't know how. We don't know. But understand that the Word of God is given to us so we know that what's next is better than what's here. What's coming after this is the big show. This is just the warm-up. And so in Romans 15, Paul is writing, and he's writing to believers in Rome to encourage and engage with each other. In times that were pretty rough, Paul wasn't sure when he was going to live or die. He faced very, very, very real situation where he could have died at any moment. They could have come and gotten him, taken him captive, and he could have died. He lived not knowing if the sun would rise and see him alive or not. He lived the latter part of his ministry like that virtually almost all the time. If not in prison, the threat of being killed in a riot or the threat of being arrested and being killed. That's what he lived with all the time. So we can read a guy like that because he's familiar with what we're going through. Now, so he's going through some rough times, but he's writing to these folks in Rome. And listen to what he says in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Let's just start in verse 1, and we'll just sort of walk through it this morning. It says, "Now we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to do what pleases ourselves." Now the first thing he says is he gives us a test. This is a self-assessment test. He says we have to look to others, but we can only look to others after we self-assess ourselves. Now, self-assessment, if you've been in the military, you get it. If you've been in the military, one of the first things you learn is after you go on a long road march, you know, something over 5 miles. 5 miles is not considered a long road march. Today, it would be the baton death march for me, right? I mean, that's where it would be for, you know, 5 miles with a 60-pound sack on would be rough. But you know, we're talking about a 15, 20-mile, 25-mile, which you did a lot when you're in the military. I did them often. You were taught self-assessment. Now, what does that mean? It means after you break, there are things you check. You check your feet to make sure you're not getting blisters, to make sure they're in good shape. If you had fallen or gone through the brush or had a rough go of it, you know, in the walk, in the march, which happens, right, when you're in the military, you check for cuts and bruises. If you feel like you cut your leg, you could be bleeding and not know it because it's mixed with water and mud and all that, probably giving you too much information. But, I mean, so it's pretty nasty out there when you're walking and marching and falling down and getting up. And so you're taught to self-assess yourself to see if you're healthy. Now, if you're healthy, then the second responsibility comes in, and that is to help your buddy. you always have a battle buddy. You always have someone that you're looking out for. If he's hurt or he's injured or he's struggling, then you're expected to help them. So Paul says in Romans 15:1, he says, look, now those of you who are strong, assess yourself. Those of you who are strong, are you strong today? Well, what does that mean? Strong in the Lord means this. First of all, you know that you know that you know that you know the Lord. You know without a doubt that you're a Christian. If you died today, you know you would spend eternity in heaven. Now, some of you say, well, I would hope so. I think so. I know I'm better than my neighbor because he's really bad. Yeah, I know I'm better than the guy I work with because they're really bad. It's not a comparative thing. It is a born-again thing. So here's the reality. The reality is this. If you come to the place in your life where you've said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to trust you solely and completely for my salvation. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day, and I'm placing all my faith and all my trust in you alone for salvation. Have you really done that? Do you really mean that? Has that really transformed your life, or is it just some information you have when you watch Jeopardy, right? I mean, it's got to be something more than answering Jeopardy questions. This has to have been transformational in your life. Has to be. Has to have changed you from the inside out. So spiritual health begins first with knowing the Savior. Second, how's your walk today? How's your road march been through this time? How's your journey been? Have you fallen down and gotten bruised up? Is your faith hurting a little bit? Are you questioning God because you've never had hard times before? Let me just tell you, we've got probably three generations of Christians living today that have never experienced a difficult time. They've never been told no. They've never been told restriction. They've never been told you can't. They've never been told, you know, this isn't allowed for you. They've never had restrictions. We've taught them to wake up, to dream big and go after it, and everybody's going to fall all over themselves to make sure you get there. Oops, that day's over. Now, it's a different day, and there are some people really bruised up on that because they've been sold the idea about God that God is only and always going to provide good times for you. God is the good time God. He's the party God, right? I mean, you come to the Lord, and he is the good time God. He is the party God, and everything's going to be great. The reality is there is nothing in the Bible that supports that. Jesus, our Savior, the King of our souls, the one who conquered hell, death, and the grave to redeem us, suffered. And if he suffered, guess what? We might. And we can't be mad at God if we do. So how's your strength? How's your spiritual health? What's your self-assessment? Do you know the Lord? Have you gotten beaten up in these middle times here that we're in, these crazy times? Have you gotten beaten up in your faith? Have you gotten beaten up in your hope? Have you gotten beaten up in your vision? Even those times are rough, you don't lose all of that, but you learn to grow and develop through that. Have you gotten beaten up a little bit? A third part of our assessment is sort of simple. It's just attitude. You know, attitude's talked a lot about in the scripture. And I love what John Maxwell said. Your attitude determines your altitude. Christians with bad attitudes are not great billboards for the gospel. They're just not. I mean, Christians who wake up every day with a sour attitude, who treat people in a sour way, who treat people negative, who talk negative, who have a bad attitude, are not good billboards for the gospel. They're simply not. You're not going to be able to help someone else, as Paul instructs us to do here in Romans 15:1, if you wake up with a horrible attitude. You're just not going to be able to help. But here's what he says. He says, excuse me, we who are strong, our salvation is firm, right? We've not let these circumstances strip us of hope, faith, belief, optimism. We've not let it kill our attitudes, right? We who are strong, and I hope that's all of us that are listening, right? We who are strong have an obligation. That's a responsibility. That's an expectation. That's not an option. When you have children, you're obligated to take care of them. Even when you don't like them. I'm kidding. You're obligated in the middle of the night when they're crying to get up and go take care of them, aren't you? You're obligated to care for them when they call you in the middle of the night and their car broke down. And they're a state away, and there's no way you can get to them. So you send one of your other kids. You're obligated. It's not an option. If you are strong today, it carries some obligation, some responsibility, because We're part of a fellowship. We're part of the called out people of God. And so we're responsible to do something. And what is it that Paul says we're to do? So we're to bear with the failings of the weak and not just to look to please ourselves. There are some people in their homes right now that need a phone call from you. You're saying, well, I haven't talked to so-and-so in 2 weeks. Call them. If God brought them to your mind, God's telling you to call them. You know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a month. You know, maybe we were at church and I haven't seen them back when we were all coming to church. That's coming again. I believe that soon, right? We're gonna get back to that day when everybody comes again. We're going to get that. We're going to gather again. That's coming. But I haven't seen them in a while. Then, you know what? You need to call them. Maybe you're looking through Facebook feeds and something pops up, an old memory, and somebody's there, and you're like, man, I wonder about them. That's God bringing them to your mind. If you're strong, if your attitude's right, if your faith is right, if your vision is right, man, if your salvation is secure, call them. Reach out to them. They need to hear from you. There is an obligation for us to call and connect with each other. Call. The first thing Paul says, he said, look, you have to look to others to help. There's a self-assessment involved, but we have to look to others to help. Then he goes on and says, this is how we're to do it. In verse 2, he says, now let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. We're to lift others. We're to lift others. One of the greatest ways to battle back depression and melancholy feelings in your life is to be a blessing to other people. To be generous to other people. Remember, we've talked about generosity. Being generous with your words. Call somebody on the phone. Text somebody. Let them hear your voice. One of the greatest ways to get out of your misery is to bless others where they are. I promise you, I don't know how it works and why it works. It just does work. When we're a blessing to other people, it pulls you out of where you are. Now some people like being miserable. Let's just be honest. I don't know why that's true. But some people like to be miserable. And I've always asked y'all to do me a favor as your friend and as your pastor. If you're throwing a pity party, don't invite me. If you're throwing a misery party, don't invite me. I don't want to come. I'll pray for you, but I'm not coming. But here's what we have to do. If you want out of that, lift others. Be a blessing to others. Use your words, generosity of words, to help build others. Pray. Pray for others. I mean, a lot of us are not working. Some can't go out of the house. I mean, we're restricted. Many people, watch it on Facebook. It's how we're really gathering for the most part. You're at home, and many of you are at home a lot. Pray. Spend some time praying. Well, I've prayed about everything I want to pray about. Well, maybe you ought to pray about someone else. Just the thought. Maybe you ought to pray about someone else. That's sort of what the scripture tells us to do. So now, why not start praying for your friends? Start praying for your family. Start praying for your neighbors. Start praying for your church. Pray for me. If you're done praying for you, pray. I need your prayers. You need the practice. I need the prayer, right? So please pray for me. I need it. But we're to look to others to help them, but then we're to lift others. And we lift others through generosity, through the generosity of words, through the generosity of prayers, through the generosity of time. Some of you are not afraid, and your faith is strong, and you're healthy. Remember, going back to verse 1, you're strong, you're in a strong spot. Go and be a blessing to someone. If they need some yard work done, if they need grocery shopping done, I'm telling you, you've got some people, you know some people right now that need you to go shop for them. Now, you don't have to go in their house. You can go, they can text you or send you an email or whatever on what they need. Go pick up their stuff, bring it to their house, put it at the door, you know, get the money through a slot, you know, right? Exchange hands at night, you know, with flashlights out back, right? So nobody sees you, right? And so, you know, you could get the money, however, and you've blessed them. If you're strong, if you look to others, and then lift others. Why? Why? Now, wait a minute. Now, some people think religion is about ourselves. We think the whole religious process is about us being happy, us being good, us getting to heaven, us being healthy, us being prosperous, us, me, 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 me. We think that all religion is about me. Well, religion might be about me, but Christianity is about others. We are saved and redeemed as a trophy of God's grace to be a blessing to others. That's why we're saved. The Christian fellowship isn't an inwardly focused group. It's an outwardly focused group. I believe, and I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy, and maybe I'm crazy on this too. But I just believe in the wake of this, there is going to be a massive move of the Spirit of God. We are going to see a spiritual awakening and revival in our community, in our state, and I think around our country. We are going to see a move of God that has we have not seen maybe in our lifetime. And the churches that are going to be positioned to do it, the people of God that are going to be positioned to do it, are the people who have self-assessed and said, I am strong enough to be a blessing. We've looked to others, and then we've lifted others. And when we've done that, here's what has inadvertently happened. Here's what we've done. Are you ready? We've become like Jesus. Listen to what verse 3 says. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days, we'll get into a minute, but basically, Jesus, Paul says, look, it was Jesus who looked to others and not to himself. It was Jesus who cared about others. Remember, Jesus' greatest moment of suffering. His greatest moment of suffering. He's on the cross. We'll be talking about that next week, by the way. Palm Sunday next week is going to be really weird. Last Easter, many of you remember I had heart surgery, and so I wasn't able to be here. And this Easter, we have a virus running around, and so we're working on a plan to be together. Let me just put a little commercial in there. There'll be probably information out tomorrow. If you'll check Facebook, social media, we're going to do emails. We're working on a pretty cool plan to be together Easter Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I tell you, it's going to be great. So just be listening for that. But anyway, so we'll be talking a lot about the crucifixion next week. But Jesus, in his greatest moment of suffering, what does he do? Remember, he has a dialogue with someone next to him. He's dying. Rather than suffering privately within himself, rather than looking to his own, I'm so mistreated, I'm so abused, people so misunderstand me. Gosh, you know, they didn't see who I was and who I am and what I'm about. He didn't do that. What did he do on the cross? He has a dialogue with the guy. The guy basically says, What are you doing here? I deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. Jesus talks to him and says, today, you will be with me in paradise. In his greatest moment of suffering, our Lord looked to be a blessing to others, not to care for himself. There's some suffering going on, and I get it. And there's going to be some economic suffering in the days ahead. I'm so afraid of that, and I'm so sorry. I wish that could be different, but there's going to be for some. But I want to encourage you, when the temptation comes to isolate and insulate, to stop being generous with your prayers and your words and your kindness and your resources. When the temptation comes, remember Romans 15 that says, like Jesus, he took all the reproach upon himself, but he still cared for others. We have to care for others. And then finally, we need to look to others to help. We need to lift others up. Because that causes us to be like Christ. And then listen, in the journey, you're going to listen to something, so you've got to listen to the scriptures. Look at verse 4 and 5. For whatever was written in the former days was written for the instruction that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. So the last thing the scripture tells us is this, as he says, Paul is saying, look, understand that looking at others and caring about others is going to be hard. I get it. I'm in that situation. But know this, that everything that was written for your instruction to help you know how to live during these times. These are the times. This is when you look back at Sunday school. This is when you look back on your life group. This is when you look back on your heritage and say, you know what? I'm really not struggling in my faith. You're not really struggling in your faith because you had a faith built into your life, all of your life. This is why this is why your kids need to be in church. This is why you need to have your kids, your grandkids in a Bible teaching church. Because when rough times come, what are they going to run to? Are they going to run where everyone else runs? That could be off a cliff, spiritually speaking. Where are they going to run to? You run to what you know. Paul says, listen, the scripture was written to instruct you and to instruct you in times like this. Now, I get it. Some people feel sort of shame because they're like, you know, Terry, I'm just not going to run to God because when things were good and when things were great, I didn't really run to God. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that kind of hypocrite. No, wait a minute. Time out. God very well may be causing some of this because he wants to get you back, not pay you back. He might be allowing some of this to happen to wake all of us up to the reality that modernity is temporary. This time will pass, but eternity is forever, so eternity is more important. So God may be shooting a shot across the bow because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to get you back, not pay you back. So man, listen, wake up. Run back to the Lord and to the scriptures. Open up the Bible. Begin to read again. Some of you are saying, I don't like to read. I don't like to take my medicine, but I take my medicine every day. Right? You do what you have to do because it's needful to do. You need to be in the scriptures every day. So Paul says, listen, all of these things were written to you that you might be instructed, right? And through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures. Endurance. Boy, that's an ugly word. If you're a distance runner, you know about endurance. I used to run quite a bit back in the day. Obviously, that day has passed. As they say, that ship has sailed and sank. But back in the day, I used to run quite a bit. And if you were a runner, particularly if you ran middle distance, I didn't run like the 20, 30 mile deals. But I would run in the military. You had to run 5 to 10 pretty regularly, so I would do that. And somewhere along the journey in the run, you would hit what runners call the wall. Now, the wall is when your breathing is labored, when your muscles begin to cramp up, when your body gets tight, when you just can't move and you're sweating profusely, even if it's cold outside, you're sweating, and you just don't think you could take another step. You're hitting the wall and you want to quit. Everything in your body is saying, stop! You're being a knucklehead! You're killing me! But in your mind, you know, if I can get through the wall, if I can just make it another half a mile, if I can make it another 5 minutes, this is going to pass and I'm going to be running smoothly again. My breathing's going to return to normal. My muscles are going to balance out and I'm going to be fine. But I've got to get through this 5 minutes. Nothing lasts forever. You have to tell yourself that. When you're a runner, you have to tell yourself that. It's what endurance is. Endurance is saying, I'm going to keep going because I know the truth of God, nothing lasts forever. I reference Ecclesiastes 3 a lot because I love Ecclesiastes. That's a very cool book. Solomon was a pretty cool guy, and we got his diary, and I just think that's the greatest thing ever, right? And so in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there's a time and season for every purpose under heaven. There's a time that we hit the wall spiritually, so our endurance is tested. Now, some of you are being tested intellectually, theologically. Some of you are hitting a theological wall because, again, you've been taught that God is only about health, wealth, and prosperity. You've been sort of taught that, and people who are well-meaning and, you know, pretty persuasive on TV has sort of taught that, and it's led you down a road. Now it's not true. So is God a liar, or were they wrong? God's not a liar. Never has been, never will be. They were just simply wrong. If God promises you health your whole life, he's got to apologize to Job. If God promises you prosperity your whole life, he has to apologize to Jesus because Jesus was born a poor carpenter. So we have to look at it like that. Now, I'm not saying don't have a great attitude. See, people hear that, then they get to be sour, negative, and dour again. No, ain't no Jesus in that either. That is not where you run to. But struggle is part of the human experience. Our faith never grows if we don't struggle. Our commitment in Christ never grows if we don't struggle. We're never persuasive to a questioning world if we don't come through a struggle. Never. We build a testimony and persuasiveness through enduring through the struggle. Endurance. Endurance. Some of you know endurance. You've had relationships you've had to endure. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. I'm sorry for you if it didn't. That's not a scarlet letter. Pick yourself up and keep going. There's a better day ahead. It's a better day ahead. But some of you have struggled through that. And you know what it's like to endure and endure and endure and endure. Some of you had health issues. And you had to go through some tremendously painful and difficult medical procedures. And you just wanted to give up. Some of you have said these words, I had rather die than go through this again. You know what it's like to have to endure. And you have endured. Some of you have kids that have gone astray, that have wandered from the faith, that have wandered from the moral and ethical and value teaching that you built into their life. They've wandered from the faith, and you're having to endure and endure and endure until they come back. Paul says that we have to have endurance. For whatever was written in the former days, he says, were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Through the encouragement of scriptures. Look, I love you. You know that. I love you. If nobody's told you they love you today, let me tell you, I love you today. I really do, and you know that. So here's the truth. You will never have an enduring, healthy, strong faith apart from the scriptures. You never will. It is impossible. It is impossible to have a strong, growing faith apart from the scriptures. Now, you don't have to read a book a day to keep the devil away, right? I mean, that's not true. But you have to be in the Word on a regular basis. You have to be. You have to be exposed to the scriptures on a regular basis. That's what's going to strengthen your hope. You need to hear from God. Does God speak through the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Does He speak through others? Absolutely. Does He speak through circumstances? Absolutely. But I tell you, sometimes when all of those voices are mute and you can't hear them, sometimes when you're deaf to those things, this is always the way God will speak. He will always speak to you through this. You can never read this and not know that God is not speaking to you, because He is. Always. Always. And always. And then finally, the scripture says, now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. May the God of endurance and encouragement. I want to end our time together with this word, the word encouragement. The word encouragement is a cool word. If you study it, it's got two parts. If you look at the etymology of it, how words are put together, there's two parts to the word. The first part is in, to place in. It's a preposition, to place in. I'm going to put my glasses in my pocket, in, right? And the second word is courage. So it means to place courage into someone. Isn't that cool? The scriptures place courage into us. The scriptures place hope into us. The scriptures build endurance into us. There is no strength in Christ apart from the Word of God being active and living in your soul. Look, y'all know me, man. I'm a glasses half full person. Those of you who've walked with me in ministry, you know, here for many years, know that. I'm a half full guy, always. Always, always, always. In this time, I think it's the greatest time of our lives. I am thankful that God is sifting and sorting us out. I am thankful that God is challenging us and pushing us on what we truly believe. The day of a casual Christian life, I think I'll go to church just to check in, I think is coming to an end. And what's going to happen is the fellowship, the reality of the fellowship, is going to become known, and we're going to see God advance strongly in the lives of people in our community. It's going to be a wonderful time. I am thrilled to be your pastor during these days. I am thrilled to be your friend during these days, because we are going to get through it. And I'm telling you, not only are we going to get through it, we're going to win through it. And we're going to see unbelievable advancement in the kingdom of God, to be sure. Let me pray for you. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your word. Father, it speaks to our heart. It speaks to our life. It challenges us. It changes us. Lord, it grows us. Thank you for the reality of your truth. And Father, yet there are some people who just can't get over the fear, worry, or concern factor. And Lord, we love them. And those of us who are strong in our faith, who have the right attitude, who have not been beaten up on the journey, Lord, we want to be a blessing to them. Show us how to do it. Open the doors so we could be a blessing, Lord, to other people around us. Father, some people are listening that don't pass the self-assessment test. They've been bruised and beaten up on the journey. They can't move real good. Lord, speak to them now. Holy Spirit, stir within them now again, afresh and anew, faith to believe in you. Holy Spirit, descend on them in power and fire and persuasion. And Lord, cause them to believe afresh and anew again in the truths of Scripture. And Lord, just give them enough wherewithal to reach out to someone if they're hurting. Because there's a whole lot of people in our fellowship that want to be a blessing to them right now. If that's you right now, if you're listening right now, and that's you, call someone you know. My phone number is 386-546-2947. 386-546-2947. You can call me. Not right now, I'm in church. But when I get out of here, all right, call me. I want to talk to you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you. I'll get you in contact with somebody that can come by and see you if you need that. Don't walk alone. You don't have to walk alone. So just don't. Father, there could be somebody listening right now that doesn't know you. That first step in being spiritually strong, they flunked the assessment. They don't know you. So, Father, I pray that you would awaken within them now faith to believe. Cause them, Father, to put aside their questions and doubts and to trust the gospel, to trust you, Jesus, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you would redeem them and save them, change them from the inside out. And now, Father, as we live this week, we pray that you'll be pleased in everything that we say and do. Show us how to be others-focused. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All Facebook folks, please know that we'll be doing Facebook Live every day. I'm trying to do those in the morning. Certainly before noon, it will happen. So please be watching Facebook Live. And when you see it on Facebook Live, like it and share it and tag specific people if you think the message for the day will be a blessing. I'm doing one in the morning. May do one in the afternoon. Not sure about that. But certainly every day, you'll get on the weekends, every day, you will get an encouragement in the morning from me. Want to do that. Please be checking your emails. We're going to have some mass emails going out concerning Easter and what we're going to be doing there as that develops, to be sure. Our office hours are open. I will be in the office every day. So if you need to come by. I've had several people come by to pray. And so please do that. If you will, we'll be glad to be here and glad to help you any way we can. God bless you, and please be watching.